Fantastic. Wonderful truths, and great to see it being taught in such fun ways, and adults finding the actions as difficult as I do. Fantastic. Well, we're going to turn to Jonah chapter 3 now ourselves and look at those truths a little bit more closely. So if you've got a Bible, Jonah 3. If you haven't, please don't worry. The words will appear on the screen as I read. So Jonah chapter 3, starting with verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Well, do keep Bibles open. We'll look at those verses. They're astonishing verses. I've had a very hectic week. They didn't quite get all the attention I wanted. I've been helped by one or two other areas of teaching. So let's pray, and above all, ask for the Lord's help as we look at his word. Let's pray together. Loving Father, we thank and praise you that you speak to us. Thank and praise you that your word is not just letters on pages, not just stories of old, but it's alive and at work in us. We pray now that you would find good soil in our hearts to teach us, challenge us, train us, to make us more like Christ, but not leave us unchanged as we respond. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure we all agree that we all love a good comeback story, don't we? Whether it's a film where the hero, sort of down on their luck, turns the tide and manages to beat all the baddies. Whether it's our favourite sports star who, when we get their biography for Christmas, we read through it and realise they came from such rags before their riches. And now they've bought mum the family home for the first time after so many years of struggle. We love a good comeback story. And the book of Jonah offers the most extraordinary spiritual comeback story in the whole Bible. Time and again, we're totally preoccupied with the big fish. And yet the big miracle is a whole city of saved souls. That's what's to grab our attention. And chapter 3 gives us the ingredients of this spiritual comeback, the recipe, if you will. The first two ingredients: an obedient messenger with God's message. An obedient messenger with God's message. I think the All Souls video that we just saw with the children gave us such a helpful recap, so we know how we got here. And we know we've picked up many ways where we started in chapter 1. Jonah once again told by God, go. And this time he doesn't say no. He says yes. And we've got no indication of how long the time has passed. So presumably he is there, wet, covered in presumably fish vomit on the beach. And in words very familiar to us now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Same start, same instruction. Verse 3, but Noah obeyed. Sorry, Jonah obeyed and went to Nineveh. That's astonishing, isn't it? Jonah, remember, was faithless and frightened and been completely selfish and preoccupied. By all accounts, Jonah is a hopeless messenger for God. But God rescues and recommissions him. We'll come back to it, but we are not to miss that God is a God of second chances. There's clearly more for Jonah to learn here. If God just wanted Nineveh saved, he could have benched Jonah, left him floating in the sea, and chosen someone else. But he's a God of second chances. and Jonah has more to learn. And as he goes to Nineveh, just imagine, he really does have inside him, doesn't he, a best-selling testimony of, you will not believe what God has done in my life. But his sermon wasn't to be the message of what God had done for him so much as what the message was God giving him for them. And there it is in verse 4. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That's a punchy sermon, isn't it? 8 words in English. 5 words in the original Hebrew, simply, yet 40 days, Nineveh overthrown. See, God saw Nineveh's sin, and he sent this 40-day advance warning of what was coming in his judgment. Yet 40 days, Nineveh overthrown. I wonder what we think about that message. Do we find it rather shocking? But the bigger shock is that the city matters to God at all. When, as we've heard from the start, God clearly doesn't matter to them. And we get that because of what happens, but also that word great in verse 2 isn't talking about its vast size, which we're told later on. No, the word great of Nineveh there is speaking of its great value to God. He made them. He loves them. And as infamous as Nineveh was in its history for extreme violent conduct, he longs for them to know their sin and be warned of its consequences. It's a bit like, I'm sure any of us have seen warning signs, haven't we? Not just sort of, you know, speeding signs or things to sort of help us obey the law, but the warning signs you sometimes see on electrical grids or things, or maybe as a child, where you're playing football in the park and you kick your ball over and there's a pylon and there's a great big yellow sign which clearly says, warning, danger of death. Don't go over the fence and get the football. It is very likely you're going to die. No ifs, no buts. And why is that yellow sign there? It's there, isn't it, to warn you, to save you. Not hope you sort of get what you deserve when you hop over the fence and then say, we told you so. No, the warning is there to save. And so Jonah's message here is very similar to Jesus' message. The first words of Jesus as a grown man in his public ministry recorded in Mark's gospel, what are they? Not, hey guys, I love you all, just be kind to each other. No, it's repent and believe the good news. It's stop and turn around and trust God's good news. It's a message that he's saying that it's a bit like each of us is driving the wrong way down the motorway and we're on a collision course with the rush hour of God's purposes. But God has sent an advance warning vehicle to come at us first before it arrives. Not because he's livid and lost control, but because he loves us and wants us to turn around before he arrives. First two ingredients, an obedient messenger with his message. We'll come and think about them in a bit. But the next two ingredients for this comeback story is a heartfelt response to a compassionate God. That's in verses 5 to 10. There's the message again. 40 more days, verse 4. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Verse 5, the Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed and all of them, from the greatest to least, put on sackcloth. Now we've heard it was a great city, great value to God and great. It was vast. It was a wonder of the ancient world, and Jonah had a 3-day mission plan to cover it. But his work was done on day one, wasn't it? We're told there, verse 5, the Ninevites believed God. Not just listened to Jonah. No, they listened to the source of the message. And in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus holds Nineveh up as a model of repentance to everybody everywhere. And it's got 4 qualities marking them out. Their repentance, their turning to God, is immediate, universal, sincere, and active. Immediate, universal, sincere, and active. It's immediate, isn't it? Jonah arrives day one, and they don't wait until day 40. They don't leave responding to God to their deathbeds. Nineveh, if you like, had heard the motto of Nike. They just do it. It's immediate. Second, it's universal. We're told it's from greatest to least. We're told it goes from king and therefore through his nobles down to commoner. It's a message for rich and poor, old and young, aristocrats and those who are far from being blue-blooded. This message is relevant for everyone. Third, their response is sincere. This fasting, as we've heard, the sackcloth and ashes, all symbols of death, almost burying themselves, covered in dust. They're recognizing the significance and sincerity, the gravity of what their sin deserves. Even the animals are roped in. And to be clear, this isn't just posturing, but active. Verse 8, let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. See, this is the fourth point. It's active. This is words and deeds, hearts and hands. They immediately, universally, sincerely, actively change their ways and now lean on God's loving compassion. Look how they put it, verse 9. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so we will not perish. They don't claim he's unjust. They plead that he would turn. And verse 10. When God saw that they did what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Now, this is no sentimental Ninevite tug on God's heartstrings. It's not that they've heard there's a Mr. Grumpy and they've now just managed to catch him when he's feeling more like Mr. Gracious. They're not presuming on God's grace, but they are realizing the purpose of his warning at all was that they'd respond and receive his rescue. That if going the wrong way down the motorway, they'd see the warning vehicle, turn round and go the right way. Picture a parent, as many of us will have done in the recent days, telling a child to jolly well put their coat on, it's freezing outside. Why do we do that? The purpose isn't so that they don't come back in but do go outside without a coat and get pneumonia. No, it's because we long for them to listen and come in and put a hat, coat, hat and scarf on and stay warm and safe and then go and play. See, the warning was there because of our compassion. And this whole city's comeback was secured in heartfelt response to God's compassion. Because they'd listened to God's message through this now obedient messenger. Friends, let's think about some of these implications for us today. Just think of London. Nineveh had 120,000 people. London is 8 million and counting. And God doesn't really matter to London, but London really matters to God. In both senses, London is a great city. And we know God's message. Will we share it? And of all that we can say and must say about who God is and what he's like and revealed so perfectly and fully and finally in the Lord Jesus, we must also share the truths of what Jonah shares, mustn't we? We can't say everything but this. We must share the warning from the Lord because that's what makes sense of why Jesus came at all. That's what makes sense of why he preached that sin matters, but he'll save through the cross. It's because we love that we must speak not just of God's compassion, but of his justice that demands his compassion. I was struck this week by some words from the magician Penn Jillette of perhaps Penn and Teller fame. You might have seen him on the television. Penn is an atheist, but he said these words: "I don't respect people who don't evangelize me. If you believe there is a heaven and hell, and people you know could be going to hell, and you choose not to tell them because it feels a bit awkward, how much do you have to hate somebody to not tell them? How much do you have to hate someone to believe everlasting life is available and choose not to tell them?" It's a compelling challenge, isn't it? Let's pray Christchurch loves London enough to tell them of God's love for them. It might well be this morning you're someone who needs to hear God's message of warning yourself, and you need to have a heartfelt response like we've heard. And if that is you, remember the hallmarks, the immediacy of Nineveh. Why wait? The Bible promises Jesus is coming again. What will you do with your sin that day? A sin that the Lord sees and sends warning about. What will you do with your sin? Jesus says, give it to me. Give it to me first. Trust that my cross pays your debt and sets you free to live in the freedom of undeserved forgiveness. What Nineveh said, who knows? Jonah knew, and we can be certain of in Jesus. Come to Jesus today. And of course, many will have done that wonderfully already, but still know the lifelong struggle that we share with sin. I know mine. And again, we can learn from Nineveh's example, the immediacy of their repentance, the universal attitude of repentance, but its sincerity and activity. Friends, do you simply regret your sin, or do you repent from your sin? Do you simply just get so tired and dragged down by sin and bemoan it, or repent? You say sorry and strive with his help to stop. And maybe we need to remember that, as we've seen here, God is a God of second chances, not just for Nineveh. Look at Jonah. And not just second chances. He's a God of third chances, fourth chances, fifth chances, 222nd chances. Perhaps you fear you've spiritually blown it. You've taken one step too far in the wrong direction, the opposite way. You've carried out one sin too many, sunk one depth too deep. Well, the book of Jonah longs that we'd see and hear, you really haven't. We come back to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, know his forgiveness, and start again. Friends, we all love a terrific comeback story, don't we? And Jonah and his story in this book is the greatest spiritual comeback story in the Bible. And there's four ingredients that we can share in: an obedient messenger proclaiming God's message, longing for a heartfelt response to God's compassion. Let's pray together. Loving Father, we thank and praise you that you are not indifferent to wrong and evil, and not indifferent to the wrong and evil that is not just around us or out there, but in our hearts. You see us for who we really are and love us just the same. And you lovingly give us warning, just as we've seen the warning sent by your word to Nineveh is the warning sent by the word of the Lord in the Lord Jesus to us. We pray you'd help us to respond. If it's for the first time, to be set free and know forgiveness. And if it's for the umpteenth time, to come back in repentance and faith, to know the power of the cross and your work in us to help us start again. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.